battle over copyright law escalated this year. The movie publishing and record industries say they spent the year in court trying to protect their products from online piracy. Civil libertarians say new copyright laws threaten the vitality of American culture. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
2001's biggest dispute over copyright law wasn't Napster. The internet firm now says it plans to start charging users for music with the blessing of three major record labels. Instead, the big copyright fight revolved around Section 1201 of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, or DMCA. Chuck Sims is a partner at the law firm Proskauer Rose. He represented the movie industry in a suit it filed under the law. Sims says Section 1201 allows copyright owners to defend their rights in the computer age.
In the old days, it was relatively easy to catch copyright infringement before it caused great damage. With the advent of the internet and compression technologies, it is possible instantaneously to make millions of copies of books or movies and get them around the world before anybody could intervene and stop it. And therefore, this provision of the DMCA was enacted to provide content owners, movie companies, publishers, others, with security.
The law does that by giving copyright owners the option of putting a kind of technological lock on books, music, or movies they release in digital form. Those locks are known as access controls. Many of them work by scrambling the copyrighted material. Without the right key to a CD with access controls, for instance, the music is nonsense. With the right key programmed into your CD player or computer, you can hear Bix Beiderbecke and the Wolverine Orchestra the way they were recorded. Attorney Chuck Sims says Section 1201 gives publishers, movie studios, and record companies a legal weapon to make sure nobody removes their access controls.
It says that attempts to defeat that technology are sanctionable, and efforts to provide the tools to the public to defeat that technology can be enjoined.
Well, if that's all 1201 did, it might be a decent law, but unfortunately what 1201 is effectively doing is making the copyright balance irrelevant.
That's Cindy Cohen, legal director for online civil liberties group, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Historically, she says, the law has strived for balance. Copyright owners get a monopoly on their products for as long as the copyright lasts. The public gets new books, films, and music and can use them more or less however it wants.
You buy a book. You can read it anywhere. You can loan it to someone. You can sell it when you're done. And 100 years from now, if you find it in your basement, you can still open it up and read it. Now let's take a look at what happens post 1201. You're not going to be able to move it so you can read it anywhere. You're not going to be able to loan it. You're not going to be able to sell it when you're done. And 100 years from now, the chances are that you're going to be able to access that book pretty small. I mean, how many people get to listen to 8-track tapes now?
Cohen says Disney, for instance, has released DVDs on which the access control disables the fast-forward for the duration of the ads that appear before the feature film. If you find a way to re-enable the fast-forward, she says, you're violating Section 1201. And unlike copyright, which expires after a fixed period, Cohen says protection under Section 1201 never lapses. The copyright on that recording by the Wolverine Orchestra we heard earlier has expired. It's in the public domain. But if a company releases it with access controls, Section 1201 limits users' rights forever. Cohn and other opponents of the law say it's bad for American culture. Siva Vaidyanathan teaches at the University of Wisconsin and recently published a cultural history titled Copyrights and Copy Wrongs. He says Section 1201 privatizes traditions that are supposed to belong to everyone, or what he calls the cultural commons.
Once you have decided that certain pieces of information, certain habits or cultural signs belong to a very limited number of people, then you've closed off an important part of the cultural commons and you're creating a poverty in the creative process. You need to make sure that there is plenty of easily and readily available stuff for new creators to use.
Supporters of Section 1201 say claims like that are overblown. Twice in the past year, courts have agreed. The major movie studios convinced an appeals court to prevent computer magazine publisher Eric Corley from posting to his website a program that opens the access controls on DVDs. In another case, the record industry threatened Princeton computer science professor Edward Felton with a suit if he published a technical research paper about access controls for CDs. The professor sued the record industry, claiming the threat infringed his First Amendment rights. A federal judge said the suit was groundless and dismissed it. In a third case, Russian computer programmer Dmitry Sklyarov was charged under criminal provisions of the law. He allegedly wrote a program that allows users to open access controls on electronic books. A spokesman for Elcomsoft, the Moscow software firm Sklyarov was working for when he allegedly wrote the program, says the software merely brings U.S. access controls into compliance with Russian law. Douglas Lichtman teaches copyright law at the University of Chicago. He says Section 1201 was written with cases like that in mind. It's supposed to save copyright owners from having to engage in a kind of technological arms race.
Copyright holders attempt to encrypt their work. Hackers attempt to decrypt it. Copyright holders attempt to improve their encryption. And we go back and forth, me trying to hide the ball, you trying to steal the ball. And 1201 basically says that's a waste of everyone's time. What we want to do is say, look, do your best shot the first time, attempt to encrypt your work. But if your encryption is beaten, we'll come in and let law protect you.
Federal prosecutors have agreed to drop charges against Dmitry Sklyarov if he testifies against Elcomsoft. Douglas Lichtman says the repeated challenges to the law may mean it's too broad. Magazine publisher Eric Corley and computer scientist Edward Felton are considering appeals of their cases for 2002, and critics of Section 1201 say they hope to file new challenges. They're also planning a public education campaign in hopes of winning support from musicians, authors, librarians, teachers, and the general public. The law's supporters say they're certain it will continue to withstand legal challenges. Some of them are supporting a new bill introduced by Democrat Senator Fritz Hollings of South Carolina that would mandate access controls in all consumer electronics. Rick Carr, NPR News.